God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for this morning's sermon is taken from St. Mark's Gospel account, first chapter. Beloved in the Lord, immediately, having been baptized by John, Jesus is driven by a dove out into the wilderness. Still dripping with his Father's voice, the Beloved One finds himself among the beasts of the earth. This is no Eden. Everything is against him. The ground, the animals, and the devil. Only the angels minister to him, and this at the conclusion of his temptation. The new Adam, he's all alone with the serpent and the world, and he's there to liberate his bride. He's there to renew what was lost in the fall so long ago. He's there for you and me. And for all humanity, every man, every woman, every child, his concern, beloved, is your eternal destiny, not temporal fame. For he battles not against flesh and blood, but against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, and he takes nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money, nor a sword in its sheath. He's driven by a dove, and bearing the exact imprint of the Father's nature, he enters the dominion of the great usurper. The murderer of souls now meets the resurrection and the life in a cosmic clash of words. For it was words that brought down the first Adam, and so it shall be, beloved, with words that the second Adam brings low the deceiver and raises up humanity. All of you who have been baptized, you were baptized into Christ. Mm-hmm. And you share not only his victory over sin, death, and the devil, but you also have been marshaled into a heavenly army in confrontation with the devil. Immediately upon your baptism, you were transferred from the dominion of the devil to the kingdom of our God. The stronger man entered the strong man's house, bound him with words, and plundered him with water. He who was once your enemy has proved his eternal friendship. For greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Christ calls you his friend. And he who was your warden is now your mortal enemy. For your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Beloved, he intends to wrench you from Christ and his church through temptation. Mm-hmm. For the devil knows no other way. Eden's strategy may not have proved its success in the wilderness with Jesus, but Satan's methods are dear to his heart, bound to him like rusty fetters and clanging chains, irons which will one day drag him into the lake of fire. But until that day, that great and terrible day of the Lord's return, Satan is after every single one of you, every man, every woman, and every child. Being after you means tempting you like he tempted Adam, like he tempted Jesus. To wrench you from Christ, he must first wrench you from Christ's word. So his first temptation, his most lethal word, is another word instead of God's word. He will do all that he can to make God's word appear worthless in a world where mammon is necessary to survive. He will impose everything upon you to force you to support your body and your life while neglecting the bread of life. So what you see, what you feel, the rumbling in your stomach, the aching of your heart, he will use to his advantage and to your peril if you surrender God's word for bread. And where the lure of mammon fails, our adversary will then appeal to our piety. For the devil cannot cause us to despair of God's benevolence. If he can't do that, he brazenly tries next to see whether he can make us proud and reckless. Reckless enough to rely on our own righteousness. Using and abusing the very word of God that we are to hold dear in our hearts, Satan sets before us words and promises of God, fitting the scriptures together like a distorted puzzle, confusing law and gospel. He tempts us to do what God has not ordained, setting our piety and righteousness, the works of our hands, against the very righteousness of God, which comes by faith alone. Such an alternative spiritual lifestyle is called tempting God. Where the first temptation leads to despair of God's goodness, this temptation leads to arrogance. Where temptations to mammon and piety fail, the lure of fame and power returns us to Eden. You will be like gods. That's our heart's desire. And so the third temptation involves setting human traditions and doctrines above the Word of God. Anything, beloved, that is exalted above the Word of God actually seeks to unseat God from His throne and is tantamount, therefore, to worshiping the devil. And so all self-centered and self-conceived spirituality, no matter how much it appeals to reason, no matter how much it glitters before the nations or enchants the masses, it leads to idolatry and bends the knee before the altar of demons. These temptations, they have not left us because we are baptized into Christ. And as you well know, and as experience teaches, quite the opposite. And we must admit that we have fallen. We've fallen into sin. Even after conversion, the appeal of sin to the senses, to the soul, is sometimes too much. Falling into sin, the greatest temptation is to remain in it. To let sin have dominion over us. To comfort ourselves with cheap grace. Yet the way of the Lord is a highway of holiness, upon which no unclean person shall walk. So what are we to do? Who will save us from this wretched body of death? Here, now we must lift up our eyes with King David and behold the tender mercies of the Lord. For though we have done what is shameful and not done what is good, the Lord does not keep a record of sins. But with the Lord there is forgiveness. Therefore he is feared. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. And it is a covenant sealed in holy blood. Not the blood of bulls or goats, for there could never be enough blood of animals for the sins of the world. But the blood of the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world. David's son is David's Lord, and John's lamb is John's bridegroom. The son of Adam is the son of God, who goes forth from the waters to the wilderness, from Judea to Galilee, from Capernaum to Jerusalem, from the Mount of Transfiguration to Mount Moriah. And he goes alone for us, and for you, and me, and for all the world, every man, every woman, every child, and he carries upon his shoulders the wood, bearing the weight of the world upon his heart. For he is the mercy of God made flesh, the one who is stronger than the strong man, even in his weakness. Jesus is the friend of sinners, the fuller of soiled consciences. With pierced heel, he siphons the cobra's venom. With striped back, he heals the wounded. With bloodied brow, he outwits the deceiver. His death is the end of death's reign. His burial is the sanctification of the graves of all the saints. And his resurrection is just the beginning of a harvest that is yet to come. Water and words are his weapons of liberation. Bread and wine are food for the journey. Absolution is his greatest delight. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Today, beloved, today, therefore, is not a day to despair. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of God's favor and the serpent's demise, as the hymn teaches. Today his mercy calls us to wash away our sin, however great our trespass, whatever we have been, however long from mercy our hearts have turned away, his precious blood can wash us and make us clean today. Those who hunger for righteousness shall not be denied. but are given to feast upon the Lord of life himself. Beloved, we need not be anxious about this life, but trusting in Christ and his word, we follow his direction and we go where he has promised to be for us, right here at this altar. Right here at this altar, he feeds us with himself, the very bread of life, the bread that gives life, the bread that is his body, and the cup that is full of his blood. These are given for the journey so that we not grow weak and weary, but rather possessing a stronger faith in Christ, we also grow ever more fervent in our love toward one another and those in this world. And today is a day of repentance. For though you and I, we've fallen prey to temptation, the way to paradise is no longer barred by flaming swords. Such fiery blockades have been extinguished in the waters of your baptism. The way is open, and the one who once bowed low and washed feet has cleansed your heart of all iniquity. His works have made sure your destiny. He has blazed the trail before you and is even now preparing a place for you in his mansion. If it were not so, he would have told us. Therefore, you have his word, and his word trumps your feelings. His word trumps your heart. His word is your life and your life forever and ever. Today is the day of the Lord. It is the day upon which he gifts his people with steadfast love and tender mercy through word and sacrament. And the Lord has declared today that you are a people for his treasured possession, as he promised you, and that you are to keep all of his commandments, and that he will set you in praise and in fame and in honor high above all nations that he has made, and that you shall be a people holy unto the Lord your God, as he promised. Your praise is not in your works or your tradition, but in him who sets you high above the nations of this world. You, beloved, are his beloved people. You, beloved, are his redeemed people, redeemed by the blood of his Son. Therefore, let him who boasts in the Lord. Beloved in the Lord, it may seem that you are alone in this world, surrounded by wild beasts and demonic forces. It may seem as though there is little help against such warfare, and it may seem that you would be better off not fighting. Christ has called you to faith. Faith in Christ sets you against the devil, the world, and your own sinful nature. Faith in Christ engages you in a cosmic battle, not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness and the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. It is a good fight. It is a war worth waging, beloved, for its outcome is already known, which is why in Mark's gospel account, he gives little attention to the temptation itself, and he repeatedly, throughout every single chapter, announces Jesus casting out of unclean spirits. Everywhere that the word is preached, the dominion of Satan is undermined, and the kingdom of God advances. This word is given you to not only believe, but also to put to use against the devil. The devil hates the word of God. He can't stand to hear it. So we Christians, we not only speak it, but we sing it. We sing it for the edification of the body of Christ, his church. We sing it to make the good confession to the world. We sing it to comfort hurting hearts and encourage weak consciences. We sing it in church, and we sing it in our homes. We sing it to the glory of Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. And we sing God's word for the tormenting and the chasing away of the devil himself. To hell with the devil, beloved. To paradise with Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus alone.
Amen. Amen.